time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation, the podcast.
Yes, we're back. We are back. Summer is officially here. I believe it's officially here. I don't know if the date. What's the date on summer? Is it? Because I know Memorial Day weekend is.
I thought it was June 21st.
21st. Like okay. Well, yeah. You know, Memorial Day is typically the unofficial official kickoff.
It's the kickoff.
You know, we it is getting hot. It's getting hot. Right. It's definitely that time of the year where I gotta decide if I need the AC on or if I want to hear the TV. But how you doing, man? How was your Memorial Day?
Man, my Memorial Day was pretty good. The weekend was dope. You know what I'm saying? Had a bunch of shit going on. Yours was good.
It was chill. Memorial Day in particular was very low key, but the weekend I had a good time. I was kicking it. But Memorial Day, I was just low key, you know, resting, relaxing, did a little bit of work, watched some TV, watched a movie or two, you know, that type of thing. Salute to all the fallen soldiers, you know.
Word.
Word. No, you know why? Because I had, you know, my brother is a veteran. A veteran. And I think this is last Memorial Day. He was like, he kind of just brought up that point. Like, you know any fallen soul? Anybody that's died in active duty or something to that effect? And it made me like really pause and think. Because even though Memorial Day, in the title, it's Memorial Day, I don't associate Memorial Day with, you know, memorial. You know, I'm associated with going somewhere to kick off the summer. You know, I hate to say it. It's like, well, we're going. This was as a kid. That was when I first started traveling on my own. Was Memorial Day trip to Cancun, and then later on to Miami, and you know, and thus far, you know, and hereafter. But
I feel you, because I could distinctly remember the first time that I remember actually knowing it was a Memorial Day. And I was definitely in 12th grade. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how I missed that holiday all in many years. I have no idea. I'm not sure if it was a thing and I just missed it, or niggas just got the day off of school and just considered it like a President's Day or something. I just didn't know. But my homeboy's family, his mom was like, yeah, we going out to Amelia Earhart Park for a barbecue. And he was like, you want to roll? I'm like, yeah, cool. And I only remember this day because they had like a fake lake that they built. And, you know what I'm saying? No, all the kids was in there swimming and shit. And then I met this chick in the water. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I mean, it was a great connection. Like, you know what I'm saying? We kicked it all in the water, did all of, you know what I'm saying, teenage play in the water type shit. You know what I'm saying? Ride your back, you know, ride, you know what I mean? All that. It was a great time, you know what I'm saying? And ended up kicking it with this chick. And a couple years later, she ended up going to FAMU and working at Publix. It's the same Publix where Jameis Winston had to hook up. He almost got fucked up at when he went to get the crab legs.
Yeah.
But she worked at the cash register and shit. And anytime nigga had a party, just go on her day, nigga. We was getting the Moet, the whatever. You know, whatever the shit they had for the goddamn wine and spirits in Publix.
Right.
And I knew they had Moet. You know what I'm saying? We going that motherfucker, man. She charged us about $5, nigga.
Ooh-wee.
That's how I remember Memorial Day. Because I didn't know. I didn't know it existed. And that's weird, but that's just true.
I thought it was going to come somewhere where you was going to talk about the soldiers, but you said.
It wasn't about no soldiers. It was Memorial Day.
Right.
That's the soldier shit didn't really come about to the internet. You know what I'm saying? Man. When niggas shame you into learning.
Like, right.
You heathens out here barbecuing and eating hot dogs and burgers. This is a national holiday to remember. He'd be like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
True. You right. Damn.
Okay,
right.
okay.
Yeah, man. Thank you for your service, for real. Seriously, all right. Sincerity, yeah. Let me ask you a question real quick. How much do you think, if you had to do a percentage of some of your learning, how much of your learning is due to being shamed into some shit?
Man, a lot of it, nigga. I was down there. I was almost a feral child, you know what I'm saying? So I was just outside by myself a lot, you know what I'm saying? Different neighborhoods and different places at your grandma's house and your auntie's house. Come mm-hmm. from a big old family. All you do is get dropped off somewhere, you know what I'm saying? And if you go from Miramar, when I was growing up, if you went from Miramar all the way to Overtown, I had family members in all of those black neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? So I just ended up in a whole lot of different places. And you had to learn on the fly because ain't nobody was teaching and everybody expected you to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't go nowhere and just be like, oh, I don't know. Nah, that ain't no motherfucking excuse in the real world. You had to figure that shit out quick. So a lot of my learning came from just the world and mother being forced to learn that shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, you know, the book stuff is the book stuff. You know, you got that. But most of that shit came from outside.
Yeah, I'd agree. A lot of it. I don't know what the percentage would be, but yeah, a lot of it. Book stuff and like just, I guess, behavioral, cultural, etiquette type of things mm-hmm. definitely came almost as a... for fear of being shamed. You might see somebody else. They get, cause right. that's the, you know, when I was growing up, knowledge was the shit. Knowledge was power back then. That was a thing. Knowledge is power. Like it was right. fly to be smart to whether it was due to knowledge or just to know what you were talking about, you know, right. on every level. I think a little later, it started getting into the I don't know generation where it was like, mm-hmm. I don't know. And it was like pride and not knowing. But when I was like kind of younger, being educated, mm-hmm. that was fly. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you didn't know certain things, yeah, you would see people get clowned or you would be clowned for not knowing. Yo, mm-hmm. yo, did you see your man? Yo, this nigga, you know what I mean? And that's the last thing you want to do. So sometimes you got to watch somebody else get shaved and go get hip. Like, uh-oh, wait a minute. I didn't know that. That could have been me.
Man, so, that's a lot of life, man. That's a lot of life.
That's why I learned
my whole being off of shit like that. And it was very simple. This was before the... See, you grew up in New York, so all that due to knowledge shit was popping, you know, 5%, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? All that, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? What's the mathematics of the day?
Right.
I'm Ali Muhammad in Miami, nigga. That shit wasn't popping. It wasn't popping to be Ali Muhammad unless you was referring to Muhammad Ali, you know what I'm saying? Which means that you got to learn how to fight because that's all niggas expect you to do. You know what I'm saying? Like all that knowledge in the masjid and knowledge of self and, you know what I'm saying, build your own community. Fuck all that, nigga. You better learn how to fight like Muhammad Ali. So, yeah, you had to know. And the biggest lesson I learned was just being in that big house, that big family around my grandma's house, and they tell the kids to go outside, you know what I'm saying? And then I ain't really had nobody in my age space. So when I was outside, I was pretty much by myself. And then what I would see is everybody would kind of go outside, but they'll stay on the porch or right around the front door. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, on the other side of the door, the grown people trying to watch the stories mm-hmm. and shit like that. So, you know what I'm saying? They be out there making noise and shit, and they be like, y'all shut up, blah, blah, blah. But then they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? They trying to go in and get some water. I'm thirsty. I got to use the bathroom. And every single one of them motherfuckers end up with an ass whooping. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm like, damn, how niggas get an ass whooping every day? So
don't learn.
I figured the best way not to get the ass whooping is when they tell me to go outside, be gone. I was gone the furthest you could go around that motherfucker. You had to come looking for me because I'm like, shit, y'all said go. I'm out. And that was the first big lesson that you from other people's mistakes. That it was like, man, shit, stay from around the niggas with the belts. You won't get no ass whoopings. That shit carried in my whole professional career. When I got the vibe, guess what? You know, all the events and shit that was in New York, that was off limits, nigga. That had a team already. But found out all them out of market events, nobody was dealing with them. So, shit, I went outside again. That's how I found my little lane, was to just go as far as I could go. Then just less of the rules and less of the headache. You know what I'm saying? Less people wanted to be involved with your shit. Like, okay, go ahead, do that little shit in Philadelphia. Okay, yeah. Bet. Pew! So,
That's dope. Yeah. Being away, there's something to that. There's something to that. Because definitely when I was in Atlanta doing like street team for certain labels and such, just saying I was out in Atlanta, you know, you wasn't under anybody's thumb. They just kind of had to trust that you were doing what you needed to do, especially as far as with the New York companies. I didn't really mess with too many of the Atlanta companies. LaFace a little bit, you know, but not too many. I tried to, for a hot second, I think, do something with So-So Def, but it didn't happen. But they would just send me shit. And you could report back. This was before, like, the internet, you know, was super big to where you could really keep tabs on people. It was just really whatever the report was. This is what's going on down here. This is what's going on. You know, back then you still had to kind of take pictures too, which could also be manipulated, you know, but it was, you know what I mean? It was, yeah, all of that could be manipulated. You just set up a few poles and make it, you know, put some snipes up, make it, you know, make it look like a few different locations. But, yeah, just being part of a region, just the one person, the you know, the person at the outpost. That outpost, that outpost leverage is pretty good. Yeah, because it's not crowded. It's not crowded, and quickly you could become the go-to for that, you know? So, yeah, that's cool. That is cool, man.
Word.
But so talk about Memorial Day. What you wound up getting into?
Memorial Day weekend was cool, man. I had my man Orlando, shout out to Orlando McGee from One RPM Music. I'm sorry. He had his annual Memorial Day weekend barbecue at the crib, and it was nice, man. It was nice. You know what I'm saying? Set up. We got the pool installed now, the basketball court going. He had all this last year, but now it's in full effect. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of different era music industry cats always there. You know what I'm saying? So I brought Amir through, since he's a new era music industry cat, so he could, you know what I'm saying, it's just interesting. You know, some of the stuff they talking about, he like, oh, I just got that artist. That's my artist now. You know what I'm saying? As far as A&R. They like, oh, wow, we should talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the first little step of how you connect those dots. Right. I hope he was paying attention. You know what I'm saying? Because, in my day, I wish somebody was doing that for me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when you're young, you don't see a lot of shit, but it's my job to kind of help them see it. So that was cool, man. You know, we went there. You know, I try to bring something impressive on the drink tip. You know what I'm saying? Proof of concept, proof of life, you know what I'm saying? Ali came through type shit. So this year I went through with my man Cat, got a tequila line that he went to Mexico, did it all the way the real way with the 100% agave joint, you know what I'm saying? Really putting his foot into research and putting together a stellar drink. So I took couple of bottles of his stuff, you know what I'm saying? His stuff is Classe 1111. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if it's made it to the outer markets yet, but it's here in Atlanta. So I went to this. I had never bought the shit before. So I hit him up and asked him what store it was at. He was like, yeah, you know, it's taking off now, so I don't really know, but if you go to Tower, you could pick it up. I was like, cool. I ain't want to, you know what I'm saying, cause no complications. I just needed one store. So he gave me the store. I went to the store. You know what I'm saying? Went to the aisle. Okay, there it was, prominently placed, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I had to be introduced to the price point. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, there's the $30 one. There's the, you know what I'm saying? There's the $50 one, you know what I'm saying? there's the 90-something dollar one, and then there's the down there $200 one. You know what I'm saying? So now you got to make your decisions on how you're going to do this. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't want to represent the man brand with the lowest, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I ain't want, you know, last year I done came in, right, yeah, last year I done came to the party with the $200 Classe Azul, right? The big bottle with the bell. Right, so, you know, I couldn't slide back and go on back to the, you know, the regular degular. You know what I mean? That's how I felt.
If that's your homie too, right?
Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I'm a take a picture and show him that I did it. You know what I'm saying?
I like how you use liquor for your receipts. Like, look. Just so everybody know, listen. All right, so go ahead.
I mean, and I don't even drink tequila. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
But I know that's what everybody on. So, you know, I'm going to bring what people enjoy, not what I enjoy. You know what I'm saying? So.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
So you know, did that, you know, took a couple of upper level joints to them, to the party. You know what I'm saying? They were well received. Now, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, they have a good audience and, you know what I'm saying, and the people that he bring through his crib taste on this liquor and might be tempted or prompted to go buy their own. You know what I'm saying?
What kind did you get? Not the price point, but what type did you get?
I got the, that shit is called, not the Reposado, Añejo.
Añejo. Okay.
So it's one that's Añejo and one that's extra Añejo.
So, super
is double the price point, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So and Añejo is double the Reposado, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. it was times two every step you went up. So yeah, the Añejo, people loved it. So shit, it was good, man. Shout out to Cat, you know what I'm saying? He's at the Great Leader on Instagram. You know what I'm saying? He do a lot of music shit. I think this brand he started with Quavo. You know what I'm saying? Quavo, he don't need Quavo to promote it and shit like that. They ain't want to go that route, but I think Quavo is in on it. Shit like that, yeah.
That's what's up. That reminds me of that Chris Brown bar. She don't like Quavo. She don't like Quavo, and she like Casamigos, not the Migos or whatever.
That's some slippery. Hey, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some slick bars. Yeah, man. It's always interesting, man, the tequila thing. I rock with this brand called La Gratona that I like a lot. Smooth. It's made by some women out in Mexico. But when you're talking about your man going out there to Mexico to go hunt down his own agave plug, it reminded me of Frank Lucas, an American Gangster.
Yeah.
When he was going out there. Yeah, man. You got to get in those trenches. Yeah. Get out there.
You got to see what people. It is. You know what I'm saying? Not trust these middlemen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, the thing about it is I respect his documentarian game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because when I first met him, right, you know what I'm saying, it was almost like, you know, you ain't posting nothing on Instagram, nigga. What you doing? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I ain't know niggas was that interested in Instagram like that, right? So ever since he said that, I've been watching how he do it, right? And that nigga posted his whole journey on that shit. You know what I'm saying? Going out to Mexico. You know what I'm saying? Here go the bottles being made. Like, this how I'm going to do my bottle. This one going to be this, you know, breaking down the different, what's going to go in the different bottles. The gold bottle was dope because that shit is like mirror reflective and rose gold looking. The black one is all black, like a matte black, and then there's two glass ones. So watching the whole journey, I'm saying all this not because a nigga told me. I'm saying all this because I watched the nigga do it on the gram. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And you invested.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? And I watched it all the way go through. So I respect the hustle. How they did that shit, how he did it, especially as far as documenting it. And it wasn't even like, you know how some people like that expert documenters and shit? Like, you shit, they, you know, they stories be all put together in a certain kind of way. This was just regular shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, this is what I'm going to do. Nigga, this is where we at. I got my first bottles. I'm taking them straight to the party in my motherfucking hand. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pouring niggas cups in the middle of the motherfucking bar. And then, you know, you see them go restaurant to restaurant, boom, such and such got it now. Such and such got it now. This store got it now. I'm having a little install. Y'all come through. All that type shit. And it's not like from a social media person. This is just from a nigga that's doing this shit. Nigga that's hustling. So I was able to, because I thought that when you marketing, shit got to be a certain kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Like a marketing kind of way. Nobody would be interested in your regular life as I sit here and talk my regular life to people that's been listening for 14 years. You see what I'm saying? So it's just a lesson, man. Sometimes you just had to learn the hard way, knuckleheaded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's overthinking, to be totally honest with you. Just get it done. Just get it done. It'll be effective if it's done. It'd be better than, you know, it's always better than the brainstorm. Yeah, man. I want to try this tequila when if and when it comes up to New York. If it's here now, I'm not sure. But I'm gonna be honest with you. I've been saying this. I've been really paying attention to this. I've been trying to make this funny on stage, but I can't really tell the difference. I can't discern the difference. My palate is not there for some of this stuff, man. Like, you know, and it's a lot of different things, especially that I don't smoke weed. You know, I used to be a strain hunter. I used to be like, okay, let me see what this strain compared to that strain. And, you know, sometimes good weed is good weed. You know, Reggie is Reggie. There's a little bit. But even with weed, when they be like, you could taste a bit of pine resin and all of this. So, you know. When you listen to some of these.
What my weed doing with the pine?
Exactly. Is that resin? Like, but you supposed, like, you're looking for the resin, but you know, like, with coffee, there's a little caramel finish, and there's a little bit of smoke, you know, tequila, there's some smoke flavor, there might be a bit of cherry on the finish, and whatever, coffee, wine, all of this, and, you know, because, which I've stopped, I'm 90% free of going to the, basically the barometer sites, like the Rotten Tomato sites for all these things, whether it's Beer Advocate or whatever, where they rank the beer, they say, oh, this is a 91. So then you rush out to go get the 91 and then you taste it and you go and sip on the 75 that you really like, and you can't really taste any difference, you know? Like, it's like, well, what's the difference here? You know, like, it's only just to say, it's, I guess some part of it, there's a little bit of marketing, you know? Like, if we talking about, now we talk about liquor and things of that nature, how you were talking about the bottles would get me. If the bottle look cool, the bottle would get me. Like, the Lagartona is like an old school looking bottle. Allegedly, they make it from old Coca-Cola bottles. It's green bottle. It's kind of flies different. You know, I told you back when, I mean, before it was associated with the canceled, you know, I mean, or, you know, back when the Ciroc era, you know what I'm saying, before we knew everything. I used to like the new bottles and the marketing, you know, and and like I've said even back then, it was adult quarter waters, you know, it's summer melon and it's French grape or whatever. You don't even know what half of that shit really. It's just good. It just sets you up for the anticipation of what it is. Now, I kind of find what I like and just kind of lock in. Every so often, I might, you know, want to get a little aspirational just to see if I could taste any difference in it, just to say, oh, I've been there, you know. But I saw online somebody was doing this slow taste test during a Memorial Day party where they were like, they got the Casamigos tequila and then they got the Costco tequila. They called it Costco Migos. And they were doing like a little taste test at the party. They would have, you know, a shot of both, and they were just recording everybody's, you know, feedback and everybody taste test. And it seemed like a lot of people could tell the difference between the Costco in the Casamigos. I think that might be a pretty severe difference. You know what I'm saying? Like Costco is probably not going to, you know, be as distilled or whatever. They're not going to put as much into whatever. But I have heard, I've never done it yet, but I have heard over the years that there are certain spirits that you could get from Costco, particularly Kirkland brand, that are official. Then I've also heard that some of these places, they Costco just black labels them. They got a deal. Mm. So allegedly, I don't know if it's Grey Goose or Belvedere, but Kirkland's vodka is actually one of those. You know, so who knows? It's always very interesting to see what's what. You know, that's why I guess that might be why cats started, you know, not started, but I mean, that might be why cats used to do the decanter, too. You put it in the decanter, it just look fly. You know what I'm saying? It's like, ooh, what's that? Come on now, this is that shit. This is good. Don't worry about what it is. Don't even worry the decanter and the don't even worry about it. You know what I mean? That veers on a little bit of shame. You know what I mean? Nah, just trust me. Just trust me. You know. So it's one of those. Yeah, man. But yeah, did you mess with your? You ain't mess with your Tropicalia?
Nah, I ain't been on shit. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't really been drinking. So okay. I think all I had at this thing was some of the rosé that I brought with me, too. You know, this is rosé that's for everybody, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, that's a general situation that can help the bar along, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I haven't even really been drinking since I've been back up. So I had some of the rosé and kept it like that. Definitely I ain't really fucking with no liquor, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I can dig it. Yeah, that makes sense. Never been a rosé head or a prosecco head. It's a little too dry for me. Or even champagne. I like what it represents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked like success, you know, popping a bottle, you know, it looked like a, you know, the bottles look like, you know, trophies oftentimes, but when I start drinking and I'm like, "Nah, this ain't it."
Well,
you know, this is a little. Go ahead.
I mean, to me it's much better than them liquors, the hard liquors, you know what I'm saying? So like rosé, like once you get into the wines, you know what I'm saying? You start, your taste start discerning in a different level, different space. You know what I'm saying? It's not looking for the sweet or the, you know, the actual fruitiness of a situation. It's able to discern the fruitiness within its dryness or its whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? You could taste all that within what you're doing without having to have it actually be sweet or, you know what I'm saying, refreshing per se. I find rosé refreshing when I do drink it. There's a certain kind that I get. But I'm expecting that taste and I'm wired for it. Actually, I remember one time, you know, after, you know, I got on the wines like that, especially like the reds that are not usually not sweet at all. Usually, you know, a lot of them are, certain kinds of them are dry. And then, you know, the block party, that was my thing, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, I go to the store, I get something for everybody, you know what I'm saying, that I know on the block, you know what I'm saying? I had them rosés for like, you know what I'm saying, that's the general party people, you know what I'm saying? And then my next door neighbor, I brought her a bottle, she gave the shit back. She was like, I only drink Moscato. I'm like, ugh, Moscato. So I went back to the store and got her a Moscato. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, a lot of people fuck with that sweet. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I just ain't been on it. I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to drink sweet, I might as well drink some juice.
Yeah. I get, that's the thing about alcohol. People drink what they drink. You know, very, you know, particular about that. Now, that ain't me. That's not what I drink this. It becomes almost like a personality, you know?
Well, you I'm know, you get to know. Drinker. You get to know what kind of drinker you is for sure.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And it's, I mean, it makes sense.
I know. I had to stop drinking the brown, the hard liquors. You know what I'm saying? Like, I learned very early on in my adult career. College, you was just wild for the night. You know what I'm saying? Gin and juice and just thirst bust a cup full of gin and juice every weekend, right? Then that shit started turning you like an angry motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You either was, fighting or fucking. That's all you had in you after you drank a bunch of gin. You know what I'm saying? That's it. So I laid off of that first. Then as I got on the Hennessy, then I just remember being in an argument and I couldn't necessarily control my pace. You know what I'm saying? You know how you control the pace of your argument just so you can stay in your own lane?
Yeah.
I felt myself falling out of my own lane just into the mix. I'm like, wait a minute now. This ain't how this shit supposed to go. Yeah, I'm losing my footing on myself. This ain't gonna go well for not for me or for anybody in the situation. So after that argument, I backed out of brown liquor too. You know what I'm saying? So I backed down off of that. And then I was just fucking with the beers, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but then I, you know, every now and again, if I do have to be in a situation where there's liquor that's involved, like mixed drinks type shit, I'm gonna go with a white, like a vodka or some shit. And then I found Tito's. And once I discovered Tito's, it was like a happy drink. You know what I'm saying? Remember how we used to do events and we used to have Alizé and them events always used to go well?
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Because Alizé was a happy drink. You know what I'm saying? That shit made everybody in the party happy. That's how Tito's felt. I was like, okay, this might be cool for when I do drink alcohol. I'm going to fuck with this Tito's. And then, you know what I'm saying, since I've been down, I ain't been fucking with shit. But, you know, I did, you know, took some rosé that I, you know, I could do that just to be in the room. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't really been on none of that shit.
Yeah, I hear you. I think I respect Tito's, too. What I like about Tito's is just straightforward. It's not dressed up. It's just very much vodka. Good vodka, good price point. Mm-hmm. No bells and whistles, no frosted bottle, no French writing and everything all over there. You know what I'm saying?
It is what it is. We from Texas. That's all it is.
Exactly. Just, you know what I mean? Enjoy. What I did notice, though, as I got older, and I'm kind of, I think I've fallen back somewhat, very particular about what I drink, but what I did do, I revisited a lot of spirits that I realized that I abused in my college era. Not even just my college era, my college era and my early industry era of the open bar sort, you know, where it was
the cocktail circuit.
Yes, because the open bar is just the open bar within the industry is just a sophisticated, you know, free drinks before 11. You know, that's really what it is. Whatever the bar got is what you drinking that night, you know, because it's working for your wallet and it's free. And if you're not smooth about it, if this is your first trip, you gotta overindulge just because, oh, shit, it's free. Let me, you know, scarcity mindset, thirst, you know, literal and figurative. So then what happens is you come away with a bad taste in your mouth about some of these certain spirits, you know? I haven't doubled back and tried Jim Beam, but, like, Jim Beam was the one. That was one of the top ones that, like, where it was damn near blackout drunk. I just remember just getting a bottle of Beam, me and my squad, and we were going crazy on the street. Like, it was ugly. To this day, I shudder when I think of, like, when I see Jim Beam, I keep it moving. I don't think I'll ever circle back. But I had that with, like, you know, like gin or tequila, particularly those two. You know, the smell of tequila, you know, is like very specific, you know, like sometimes you smell tequila, it could smell like regret. It could smell like, oh, I'm about to play myself. I'm doing too much. That's if you overindulge, you know, that's what tequila smell like. But I get it. It's closely associated with overindulgence. Same thing with like rum for me. I don't really mess with rum because rum got me thinking about being on a booze cruise or at some tropical situation with like, or like a homecoming where it's just, you know, jungle juice, where it's just a bunch of sugary drink with a bunch of rum, and you're getting twisted, and it's hot, and you're almost about to pass out. Might even feel like you got to throw up. You're waking up with a crazy hangover. So I don't mess with rum, but I've revisited gin, and I've revisited tequila, and I just learned how to kind of do it in a lot more moderation, drink it responsibly, and they've kind of become some of my drinks of choice. I haven't really messed with vodka in a minute, outside of whatever the Ciroc of the season was. But even that was, you know, that was sweet than a motherfucker. So it was just more so, like I said, just copping the bottles and trying to be current. It's like the Marvel movie of liquor. But, yeah, man, I know what I like. I know what I like. I stay in my lane, you know, and that's it.
I think that's what all people trying to do that's not young no more.
Just figure it out.
Young, you just be doing whatever's around. You know what I'm saying? Ball to Hennessy, you know?
Yeah, but, man.
You know, you get older, you like, man, shit. It's certain moods you don't want to be in. It's certain moods you want to be in, you know what I mean? And certain things take you places where you know what I'm saying, could sit your ass down for a long time if you don't do it right. So you tend to stick to the shit that you do. It's like one of my people be like, when he be out, like, motherfuckers who be doing all kinds of drugs. It's like, nigga, if you're going to be on drugs, man, you need to pick one, man. Because you can't do all of them. You know what I'm saying? But it's you had to know who you are, man, and where you willing to go with your shit. And that's half the battle.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure, man. So y'all had a good time out there.
Yeah, so it was good, man. And it's wild because, you know, Rico Wade usually be at these things, at this particular cookout, because he manages the Dungeon family. So, you know, when you see Ray there, then you don't see Rico. You see Sleepy Brown there, and you don't see Rico. It's just a constant reminder, like, damn, Rico ain't even here this year. You know what I mean? Damn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a huge loss for the... You know, for music, but particularly Atlanta.
Yeah.
Atlanta music soundscape.
Yeah, that, you know, them niggas was different, man. You know what I'm saying? Especially, I mean, Rico was different. You know, Rico was the first nigga I've seen driving a Range Rover, personally. Because Range Rovers weren't big in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas wasn't really getting Range Rovers like that. So, when I came to Atlanta one time and, you know, he used to be everywhere. He pulled up in the Range. I was like, damn, that nigga, that's okay. Them niggas is doing it out here. You thought that was only reserved for rich people, which they probably were.
right.
But they was up, like, I'm niggas rich. Like us. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, that's fly. That's fly, bad. Yeah, they definitely an architect of a huge, you know, cultural movement beyond music, you know, but he's for sure one of them architects. It's damn shame.
And one of them, them special kind of people that can round everybody up, you know what I'm saying, and get everybody to do what he needed them to do to make it work. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't do that. Everybody can't grab a group of unpolished niggas, bring them to your mama house, you know what I'm saying, have them working in the basement under the house for weeks and months until you get it right. Like, everybody can't. I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Niggas would be mad at me for the first week. They'll stop coming. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't round people up. Like, that ain't my gift. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a gift in being able to round people up and motivate the whole crowd to do a certain thing. And that shit is different. You know what I'm saying? That's different. You know, I got my own little talents, but that ain't one of them.
Yeah, my homie Kev is good at that. Well, he used to be back in the day. He was good at rounding up some of the most disparate motley crew of all time. Like, yo, we all gonna meet up here. Such and such coming. Yo, this my. He was good at, yo, it's my man. Such and such, such and such. This is it, such and, you know, like, you just meeting all these people for the. And then now we just converging on whatever the situation was, but it was always, oh, that's my man. My man, da-da-da-da-da.
You talking about Kev, who was down here in the A?
Yeah, Kev MD.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Kev is always somewhere, dog. Yeah, not where you trying to be out or nowhere. It's just like, I lived in this building, and I ain't seen a bunch of motherfuckers the whole time I lived there. But I done seen Kev down there once a week. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could be parking the car at 5, 6 in the morning. Here come Kev coming out. Nigga, I'm about to go to work, yo.
Nah, he move around. He's an explorer. He always been an explorer. As long as I know him, we go on missions. That was it. Let's go on a mission. Let's go. And it could be random as hell with the same enthusiasm. Yo, we just going to go. Fuck it. You want to go? All right, bet. We going to go forever. So that's that. Yeah, man.
That's how I met that nigga, man. I met that nigga coming from that Nike event you hosted.
That's the first time you met him? Okay, y'all kicked it on the train.
That nigga rolled past his stop. I don't know how many stops he went past. He rolled past his stop to finish the deal he was working on, man. I had to get that nigga props. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is late on a motherfucking late at night in New York. That ride back finna be a long wait.
Yeah.
Niggas usually get off at they stop. Like, all right. He was committed.
That is funny.
That nigga is definitely an explorer.
That is for sure. That's for sure. It's a talent. It's a talent, man. You gotta really be committed. You gotta really be committed. But those people have some of the best stories too. It's always like, yo, when you left, you know what I mean? It's the whole thing. So yeah, man. Salute. Rest in peace, Rico Wade. That's big. That's cool, man. My weekend was cool. It kicked off a little
whack. Hey, man, how was the weekend?
It was a little asshole. I'll take that alley-oop. It ain't nothing. We talked about my Memorial Day. I didn't do that. We talked about that. We started with that. But I had shows on Friday. Had a situation with a heckler that got out of hand.
We ain't going to find you on the internet, is we?
Nah, I don't think so. I hope not. I looked so far. I was mindful enough in the midst of it to look around to see if anybody had their camera out. There weren't no cameras open, unless I didn't see. But, man, it was just, you know, it's funny about what you said about losing your footing in the argument a little bit. Like, because you could get certain, it wasn't even like liquor induced, but sometimes you could just snap a little bit to where it's turned into an argument. It's going too far. And fortunately, I gathered it up to where it could have gone crazy. But, you know, just before it got to that precipice, we had to break the sit up, get cat removed, all of that. Like, and I don't never really like getting nobody.
So you had a LeBron James, that nigga.
I guess. LeBron
point at a motherfucking teller, get them out of there.
Yeah, sometimes you got to flex that authority. I hate doing it because, you know, but, It got well past counterproductive and it was just getting nasty. It was about to get to the end of the intelligence, you know? And I just don't like my thing is, I don't know, man, it's a lot. Like I have this, it's funny, I've talked about this, not on here. I talked to my therapist about this before, right? This is how it is. That ain't serious. It's just real talk. But like, when I get a heckler, depending on the type of heckler, it could set me off. Cause it just feels disrespectful. Like if I'm like, you know, especially if I say, yo, you know, I need you to, you know, be quiet or whatever. Like if they continue to keep talking, I process it as disrespect, you know? And more often than not, I could handle it, but every so often it just goes too far. And I think there's a couple things where it's like, It's something to have a mic and be on stage and still have to feel like you gotta shout over somebody. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, mm-hmm. come on now. What's going on here? Then there's this desire to not, you don't want to get upset. You don't want motherfuckers to get you out your, you know, out your bag to where you just, you know, you angry now. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You lost your cool, right? So that's the thing, because it's like there's that little negotiation. And that's really where that's another point where it really pisses me off, because now I'm losing my cool. And not even just losing my cool, but I'm going to lose the crowd because mm-hmm. I'm tight. Because even if I guess, win the situation, the argument, shut the person down, if I got a little too far along, I may have mm-hmm. lost the crowd. It's going to take me a minute to get the crowd back. And it's just like, now I've given over the show on a certain level to some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conversation was, and it's funny, the conversation was about that, but at this point was like, I don't like to, it gets me angry and I hate that. He was like, well, what's wrong with being angry? Oh man, it is, you know, it's interesting, because it's just like, sometimes I think certain things are cultural, you know what I mean? Like, black and angry has a different connotation, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Sometimes, but is that a limitation on our own freedom? Can we not be able to express our range of emotion, you know? So, you know, that's always something to bump up against, but anyway, I tell you, one of the things that triggers me, I shouldn't even say this shit because it'll be in the world, but I mean, fuck it, it is what it is. I hate when it's back and forth, when you're trying to shut a crowd person down. It's almost like hack as far as heckling goes, but when the person's like, all right, man, go ahead and tell your jokes. Nigga, I cannot stand that. Kill me, because that's like so dismissive, so entitled, make you feel like, you know, you like just dance, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, that shit, that'll make it turn left. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things, man. Go ahead, man. You know. And then what? Also, the crazy part about that is, that is what I want to do. You know what I mean? Ultimately, I do want to get back to telling my jokes, but I don't need you to tell me what I want to do. And then it's going to take me a second to regain the you know, the groove, you know, to gather, get us yourself back. Yeah, to gather myself, to kind of bring the audience back in. You know, like it's like losing your erection. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get your whole situation back together, build back some momentum, and then we back. But it's going to take a little bit of time, and that's an awkward moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just, man, so, because then it's like, you know, well, I'm gonna go ahead and tell your jokes. You know what I'm saying? Nah, we done got too far. And that shit got to get, now we gotta get ignorant. That's the jokes is on you, nigga. Now, you know what I mean? Or whomever. But
man, did you get them? What's shit? Did you light them up?
Yeah. Okay, that was okay, it was a good light up. It got crazy, you know. It was a good situation. But I wasn't even like, after a while, it wasn't even about that. Mm-hmm. It was just this motherfucker just kept talking. And it wasn't like, even, and it's like, sometimes when you light people up, like, they appreciate that attention. They want mm-hmm. that. You know what I'm saying? Especially if they drunk and they just, like, it got to be about them type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I didn't come up here to do that, you know? And after a while, you figure after you know, you go in on somebody, like, it'd be enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, they still, you know, just, like, it just gets ridiculous to us. Like, yo, you got to go, because I'm not going to talk over you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is ridiculous. But anyway, mm-hmm. man, I mean, the shit was, I've been meaning to watch back the set. I'm about to watch it back probably tonight. I've been meaning these last couple of days, but it's like, even as I recount it, as I talk about it, I get tight. You know what I'm saying? I do. It's just one of those things. It had me tight for like 2 days, maybe, you know, because it was kind of a situation where, yeah, it could have been avoided early on. Like I had a hunch that maybe I shouldn't take the spot, you know what I'm saying, do this thing. But I was like, nah, let me go ahead and take this opportunity or whatever. And I don't know. There's parts of it, too, that get me upset where I'm like, you could always, it's like just like bombing. Same thing. It's always this part of what could I have done differently, you know, because you want to, you know, anything that, you know, it fucked up the night a little bit. I salvaged the rest of the set, but it was that it just kind of, it really put a crater in the whole, like, it put a crater in it, you know? It really fucked up the vibe. We got it back, but it was just not, it could have been better. It could have been better, you know? And then it's just like, and like I said, you know, I definitely lost my cool too. So, like, I think that's part of why I haven't looked back at it yet, because I don't want to see, you know what I mean? Like, but you got to. You got to see, okay, this I could have probably done that a little differently. Everything's easier in hindsight. But it kind of reminded me when you were saying sometimes you lose your footing. You know, your typical artful, like, you know how they say fight your fight. You know, and then you trying to fight somebody else's fight. Now you know what I mean? Like, you're not doing what you should be doing. You trying to combat a different way, and it probably ain't gonna work well for you. You know. So yeah, man.
I have one question about this.
Yeah.
Black or white?
Nah, it's black. It's black.
Okay. Now, I mean, there's a lot of context there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
What, what kind of unruly are we dealing with here?
Nah. It was unruly. It was Negro madness. And now, that was the thing. Now, go ahead. What you going to say?
I was saying, with a nigga, then you got to worry about them. I had to fight this nigga outside.
Yeah. It's all of that. All of that thought. You know what I mean? You thinking like, okay, is this about to, you know, yeah, all of that to be considered. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
Oh, man.
But, and then in retrospect, to look at it, and it's like when I think about it, I was talking to my homie about, like, I think about it, it was just like two black cats going at each other. You know what I'm saying? Ain't even need to be that. You know, like, it didn't even need to be that. It wasn't even that many, like, black dudes in the spot.
Oh, so man.
Like, damn. That's what made it even worse.
So where you tried to out nigga you in the establishment.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't even think it started with a out nigga moment. It just was like, again, I think it was just, I mean, there's a whole thing. I just talk about my part in it. But I just think sometimes, like, people just, they don't know how to, like, fall back. You know what I mean? Just fall back. Like, we're not even here for you. You are a passive, just enjoy the show. Don't, like, all, you know, it was killing me, man. Even the fact that I've talked about it as long as I've talked about it on the pod. Pisses me off. I almost want to click this shit. I'm sick about it because it's just like, you wasting my time. You fucking my shit up. And, you know, yeah, man. It happens. It happens. But it's just like, when it does happen, man, it is like, it's the bullshit for sure.
Nah, I can feel you. I feel you on that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that's how I kicked off Memorial Day week. And, yeah, man, it was what it was. Yeah, man, went out to a Queens Night Market on Saturday.
Night Market.
Yeah, I think I talked about it before. There's a bunch of night markets in the summertime in the city. Queens Night Market was the first one I'd ever been to. I've been to the Queens one, I've been to the Uptown one, Harlem, and I've been to the Bronx one. Out the three, and then, you know, Brooklyn got like Smorgasbord and all of that, but that's not at night. But out of all of the night markets, I think Queens is the best one. Because it's like, it's probably the most expansive, you know what I mean? Like the way they set it up, just venue-wise, like where it's at on the grounds. They do this thing, I believe, pretty much everybody. I think nothing is over $6, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
You know, Queens got so many different ethnicities, so it's like food from all parts of the globe, you know. It's chill, DJ or people like little band and all of that playing. It's free, you know. It's just a vibe. Like some of the other ones, like the Uptown Night Market is fun, but it gets so packed. It gets so packed. It's like one train packed. You know how like you be on the one train, you just gotta like squeeze yourself into the thing. You know what I mean? Like it's like it feel like you ever been in a party? And the party is so packed, you spend the whole part of the party just kind of moving through the party. You can never really settle. You kind of got to keep moving just to even accommodate other people moving. That's how the joint be up in Harlem. It'd be just, it's too much. And then the Bronx joint, it's not that much space. Like, it's not in a crowded fashion, but it's just like, it's not as many vendors or whatever. So out of the three, I go with the Queens Night Market. But yeah, that was cool. You know what I'm saying? Went out there. That was chill. Kicked it, you know.
What you buy at the Queens Night Market?
There's all types of shit. The one thing that I like, because it's kind of, you know, it's vendors, food vendors. So it's like, it's all over. And then they got like different things that kind of feel like maybe shit that you might even get like at a carnival. There's this thing called the Twisted Potato. And I've seen it at other places. But basically, they take like a whole russet potato and they put it on some type of thing that like spins it. And it like tears it into like these, like this long, thin strip. So it's like on a skewer. And they basically like cook the potato as they do it somehow. So it's like, it's almost like potato chips. You know what I mean? With just a little bit of chew, and they put whatever flavor topping on there. There's a bunch of different flavors, and that shit is good as hell. Like, I like that. The line for that is one of the longest lines there. That's the thing about the spot. Like, the lines can be long, you know. Did that. Had some fried ice cream. That was fly. That was better than I expected. I never had it. I seen it before. Fried ice cream.
And what that's all about.
That was cool. So it's like, it's almost like a scoop of ice cream, like a big ass scoop of ice cream that's like fried in a, like it's crust. Like it looks like a scoop of ice cream, but it's like the crust is like round. And from what I understand, the crust might be made with like cornflake. And then you crack into it with the spoon. And then there's the cold ice cream in there, but kind of warm, but cold. And that shit was good. I got a banana pudding flavor. That shit was fire. But then there's all types of things. I mean, when I tell you this, food from like Peru, they was doing like these beef hearts on a skewer. I almost tried that. They had those. They had, you know, like Trinidadian food, like how they do like the bake, like or the shark. You know what I mean? Like that, the little shark sandwich. I've had that before. That's good. They, you know, there's this one dude down there doing skewers. There's some people doing back. Like, I mean, there's literally probably at least 30, maybe 50 different food vendors. And then there's also like little like vendors that sell art and clothes or whatever. But it's a vibe. It's cool. It's real cool. It's good to, you know, I always tell people about it. Like, every summer, it's just one of them spots to go kick it. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's so, what's up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's cool what's up. Situation. So that was true that. Indeed. And true like indeed. I said, yeah, man. And yesterday, I didn't do nothing, man. I just kind of chilled out.
Where?
Yeah, that was it. I started watching a couple of the, I mean, we talked about last week, but them. Mm-hmm. I'm probably three episodes in. I know you said you seen.
Y'all seen some of it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was going to go a little somewhere else right before we got to there.
Well, go ahead. Where you going to go?
So before we get to that show, you know what I'm saying, I went and visited to set up another show, you know what I'm saying, that Will Packer's doing called Fight Night. And I think when Fight Night came out as a podcast, we talked about it, about, you know, when Muhammad Ali got banned for being, not going to Vietnam, becoming Muslim, his first fight back, he got a license in Atlanta. And the gangsters, you know, decided they was going to have a party, you know what I'm saying, Fight Night weekend. And the gangster from New York got with the gangster from Atlanta. His name was Chicken Man. And Chicken Man was going to host the party at his crib, you know what I'm saying? So Friday, the party went off dope. And then I guess Saturday, the big party after the fight was supposed to happen. And what happened was, as the niggas started coming from the fight, the robbers got there first. So when everybody walked in the door, they just waited for you to walk in. They robbed you, took your clothes off, and put you in the basement. And they got away. And the whole thing was whodunit. You know what I'm saying? And so they've made it. There's a podcast now that if you go to iHeart, it's on there called Fight Night, and you can listen to it. But they're making a limited series show out of it, and it's, like, got everybody in it. It's, like, Samuel Jackson, Kevin Hart play Chicken Man, you know what I'm saying, Terrence Howard in the shit, I think Taraji Henson. This is everybody, you know what I'm saying, everybody black actor. They got all the good ones. So I went by the set. You know, Will invited me out to come out to the set. And the interesting thing is my real little brother, is working as a PA, Will's PA on this show. So it was dope because he was the one who had to come get me, you know what I'm saying? You know, walk me around. Then, you know, Will got the story from Kenny Burns. So Kenny Burns is part of the show. So I went through, hollered at him. And I was like, yeah, that's my little brother. And he's like, damn, I'll do your little brother, okay. So it was just like a good moment where, you know, my brother, like, he just getting in the game, and he never seen me work. He don't know the people I know. And, you know what I'm saying, now seeing him work, and the people like, yeah, he dope. But then he seeing those same people fuck with me because he never been around me working either. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, them youngest, they don't be knowing your legacy and shit. So it was good, a good full circle moment when all that shit came in. Seeing my man Tori from Atlanta Influences Everything. He's doing electric on the show. Like I say, Kenny Burns, executive producing. My other man, Vernon, is like gaffer on the show. He like do lights over here with us sometimes. So it was a whole lot of black people working on a big set. Universal got this new set in Atlanta, in Doraville. It's like brand new. They the first clients in there. Like, it's a brand spanking new set. You know what I'm saying? I posted a picture on my stories. A Merlot part, didn't that looking all sweet? You know what I'm saying? On the big set. I'm probably posted to the end of the conversation page so, you know, everybody can see what I'm talking about. But it was a good time, man, seeing it all come together. You know, Will had just got a minority interest in the Atlanta Falcons, so he was hyped about that. Can't wait the football season. It was like a good black moment, man. It was a good moment to be black, doing what you do with people that you've done it with for decades, you know what I'm saying, that you came up with. And seeing everybody doing it at a certain level, man, that shit was kind of dope, you know?
That sounds dope. Also sounds dope is you quietly becoming a bit of an entertainment family. You know, I see that shit. Like, you got a couple people that's in the game now.
Don't tell my daddy. You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. Because when I was talking about that shit in the eighth grade, nigga was like, nigga, is you crazy? In college, nigga, is you crazy? After college, nigga, is you crazy? You know what I'm saying? Now, everybody in it in some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Like my son, he just dropped his first project with the label as an A&R. Like his artist, Sad Boy, just dropped her first EP. So that was a big deal for him. You know what I'm saying? You know, like I said, Abdul He PA'ing on Fight Night. He was on BMF too. He was on BMF the first couple seasons. And then his boss on BMF was the one who was cussing out the strikers that they had to get him up out of there. So he went
That's
on BMF.
That's the wrong
this
side
season.
Of history. Oh man.
Yeah. Be like that. That's the game, dog. That's the game.
Yeah, that's part of the game. It could happen to anybody too. If you're not paying attention, you could be on the wrong side of history. It's like, man. Hell no.
Then my little sister, Kay, she was doing the marketing for BMF on the social media side. She controlled the account. Then my sister, who I came up with, she kind of opened the door for all the youngsters, cause she the one that's gonna do. Shout out to Nina Packer. She's gonna do all of the student outreach and, you know what I'm saying, bridge to the, you know what I'm saying, promised land. She's the one that set all that type. So Abdul, he learned in the training program that she started with Rob Hardy. You know what I'm saying? Amazing Stories Foundation does a PA training program. Abdul came through that real smooth. That's how he's able to work on a set in a professional way, because that's how they teach him. And then they put you on a set. You know what I'm saying? So she's really the one that kind of bridges the gap for everybody. I'm just the old example that went out there first and got his head knocked off and put back on and somehow figured it out. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in some way, shape, or form, all of this new generation is putting their hands in this same mix, and it's good to be able to have led the way, took all of the whoopings, you know what I'm saying, bumped all my head, and able to show a way you can come through clean. You can live your shit. I said I was going to make my money doing in the music business some kind of way, and shit, all the money I made somehow been related to music. You know what I'm saying? Even if it wasn't directly, it was, you know what I'm saying, because of that. You know what I'm saying? Music magazine, you know, Revolt started as a music kind of network. So culture, black culture, I like to say all that hanging out and shit I was doing at a very young age, it paid off. You know what I'm saying? Because you're able to see shit from that perspective. Even if people saying, whoa, you ain't outside. But has outside really changed that much? You know what I'm saying? The people change, the locations change, the music change, but it be the same. It's just four walls and some music. You know what I'm saying? It's outside. You know what I mean? So that was a dope thing to see. You know what I'm saying? See how all of it's coming together. So I wanted to go on that set because I'm a fan of the story, and it's not always you able to get those stories that you hear in podcasts and then actually see them translated to the big screen. So that was interesting to see how they was going to do it. One of the most interesting things that I seen in that, they was doing all this shit in the studio, but whoever did the art, my nigga, the house, the hotel, all that shit looked like you walk in the, like, you outside is just all boarded up, just like a wood structure. Right. You go in that motherfucker, man, that shit is a real house, man. 1970s bathrooms and, you know what I'm saying, bricks on the wall and the kitchen with the old school cabinets and the old dishes and the, man, they had that shit laid out, man. They didn't cut no corners, man. It's not like a Tubi movie where you're looking like, come on, man. That ain't even the same house. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Screensaver.
Right. You out here doing a green screen and shit. Uh-huh. That shit was official. The suite from the hotel. Suite from the hotel with the conversation pit. I'm like, you know, they went all the way out in this motherfucker.
Yeah, so, that's the fly thing about it. Yeah, to see that. Yeah.
So yeah, when you've been doing this a long time, that's not a lot that excites you about the process. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you know it's the process. But I was excited to see this process for whatever reason. There's something connected with that story that's like, I want to see the process of that. And they doing a good job, man. Shout out to Will Packer, Kenny Burns, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Diane Ashford, who started all the way back when we started, right? And she's producing on Fight Night. And she just, you know, she's calling shots, you know what I'm saying? And her assistant came from the program, same program with my sister, They call Diane the boss, and she the big, she the little boss. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw Diane, she was doing an interview with the behind the scenes crew. And then she would start talking about how she met me. And she, I met Diane on her first movie on Pandora's Box, which was actually my first movie. And I was the music supervisor, and she was breaking down how she know we ain't had no money, but that soundtrack is still one of her favorites, you know what I'm saying? And after she heard it, she said she looked at me different, like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he know what he doing, you know what I'm saying? So that was good to hear, you know what I'm saying? Especially, like, when you done been almost out this motherfucker, man, you wouldn't have never heard no shit like that. You know what I mean? And then to be up on your feet, to go do the shit, go see the shit, and motherfucker able to tell you that shit to your face. That's the real get your flowers now type shit. And I appreciate that. Shout out to Diane. She teach people how to produce too. So y'all should, if you're trying to produce, follow Diane Ashford on Instagram. She does a course that teaches niggas how to line produce and produce, which if you know how to line produce, you 4-5 steps ahead of everybody else, because most niggas don't know how to do that shit.
That's fire. When is it coming out, you know? Have they announced that yet?
I think in the fall. I'm not sure. But I think sometime. I know they finishing up. They wrapping up shooting now. So sometime between now and the fall, I think.
But has that's, the network that's just been me. Announced? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's Universal. So whatever their platform is, might be Peacock? Whatever they platform, whatever the NBC, yeah. The Universal platform.
NBC man. Universal, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But don't get me the line, y'all. I might have to check Variety on that, IMDb or something, because I'm just talking out the side of my neck. You know what I'm saying? That's so that was cool. Right? That's cool. That was I would be remiss if I didn't talk about that on this podcast that you know we own.
There it is. Now that's what's up. That's cool. Good to hear. Bird. Looking forward to seeing it, especially with all them people in there.
They even got my nigga from Snowfall in there.
What's the Franklin?
No, not Franklin. Nah, the light skinned nigga from who hooked him D-Ray? Up with Inglewood nigga, brother in law of the crazy Inglewood nigga.
Oh, my man Sherman Hemsley. Because he was on Sherm. We talk about my man, Crazy.
No, yeah. Not him, but the nigga who introduced Franklin to him. That's his, remember his girlfriend who Franklin him, you know what I'm saying, killed? Her brother. His name was, he was a light-skinned nigga that Franklin was at odds with. Remember when he cussed Leon out? He was like, you know, you gonna fuck this whole shit up because you don't like the way another nigga talk?
Man boy. Oh, Melvin Gregg.
Greggs. They got Man Boy in that shit too. Cool. I didn't know they had him in there, but I was in there. I seen him up on the wall. They had like his little picture up on the wall. Oh shit! Okay. I got a man from Snowfall in here.
That's what's up.
It was like a good black moment, man. That's some good black shit, because that's like top of the food chain production value. But it's like all the niggas you love, you know what I'm saying, in that motherfucker.
Right. Prestige shit.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. And to be there before it even debuts, to see the shit as it's getting put on its legs.
Yeah.
That's dope.
That's what's up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that was that. You know what I'm saying? I was proud about that. I was proud to see Kenny Burns enter this space. You know what I'm saying? Because this is first time in a space like this. You know, at that level, from a fictional standpoint, like, you know what I'm saying, you can see him actually shaking and moving. And, you know what I'm saying, in the last couple of weeks, even when I was in Nashville at Uncle Nearest, he was part of that launch, you know what I'm saying? He part of that business, you know what I'm saying?
Right, I remember that. Yeah, that's the whole reason I know about Uncle Nearest.
Exactly, that's the only reason I know about it. You know what I'm saying? So to see him making his moves, making his plays, he was the one to actually bring the story to Will. So to see that, and then while I'm there talking to him, he about to drop his second documentary about himself. You know what I'm saying? and it's funny because we talked about it when we first started, when he did the first one. And it was like, would he have enough? You know what I'm saying? Do you?
Right.
The question was, do you even have the right to do your own documentary? And right. the answer is yeah. So yeah. I can't wait to see what he come up with for this one. Because I told him when we were sitting, I was like, man, I remember when you did the first one. And I couldn't believe that somebody did their own documentary like that. At that point, I started wishing I had more cameras around me at the time. Because I didn't never think about doing no shit like that. But when he had everybody in there and he had Kanye in there talking about shit, you know, I don't know what Kenny do, but he always the VP of something. You know what I'm saying? That's a strong cosign for a nigga out here. You know, he on his own brand.
Right. And very apt. That is true, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's very apt.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man. Yeah, that sounds dope. So before we go, let's talk about them real fast.
Mm-hmm.
So last week I was saying I was attributing the look of it to Little Marvin. Because I don't know. I guess I was under the impression he was the director. He's the creator of it. So there's
who
various
is Little
people
Marvin?
That direct it. Little Marvin is the creator of this. I don't know. Let me see what else he's known for.
They call a nigga Little Marvin?
Little Marvin. Yeah.
He sound
like it's a slight.
No, I'm just saying. That don't sound like a Hollywood name. Unless it's like Little Marvin Bell Peebles or something like that.
Yeah, nah.
But his name Marvin. Melvin.
Yeah, nah, Little Marvin. I have to find out. We'll find out more about who he is next week. We talk
it's
a little
a
bit
hell
more
of a
about
brand, I tell you that.
Yeah, and Little Marvin.
And the show is beautiful.
That's what I said last week. I attributed to him thinking he was like the director. No, right. I got you. But what I'm saying is I'm just clarifying, though. He's the creator. There's people that are directing and doing cinematography. Obviously, it's under his helm. Mm-hmm. But I kind of positioned him as if he directed it. But, yeah, it looks fly, right? It looks fly. Mm-hmm. It's a real – I like the way it's shot. Like, they put, like, some type of – feels like they put some type of filter on it. You could probably speak a lot better to that as far as the camera work and things of that nature. But – one thing I don't know if I'm really messing with,
mm-hmm.
and I want to know what your thoughts are from what you've seen so far. I've said before, that first season was definitely horror cut with black trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me tight. It had me pissed off.
Nigga been tight the whole show.
Yeah, that's what it is. Just this a fucking author who fist. But I'm just like, here we go. So I figured maybe the second one, it might not have as much, but it looked like they done sprinkled a little bit of that in this one too. By the second, third episode, I was like, oh shit, here we go again. Here we go. Damn, Lil Marvin. You know what I mean? Now I want to know more about Lil Marvin. I want to know what's going on. I hope I want to know. I want to see a photo of Lil Marvin.
I'm looking at the nigga. I'm on his Instagram.
Okay. You know, found him?
Yeah. I mean, it ain't hard to find a nigga named Lil Marvin.
Oh, man.
That's his Instagram, Lil Marvin. Now, I started watching it. You know what I'm saying? I'm on episode 1 of season 2. I skipped. I'm glad you told me it was an anthology because I skipped season 1, went straight to 2. And getting introduced to what it is, and this is definitely not BMF where you could just casually watch this shit. You got to watch this motherfucker because shit, you got to watch every blink. And what I like what they're doing, they're using, and see, not a lot of people do this effectively. You know what I'm saying? They using that soundscape. They putting different sounds in there that don't necessarily belong there. That's not like the atmosphere, but it's creating the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Like if you listen to like the background, they got all this crazy shit, like backwards scratching and shit in the background in different transitions and shit where it's not distracting. It's just adding to the drama of what they doing. And a lot of people don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So I salute them on using different tools to keep shit going.
Yeah, I'm gonna look out for that. I definitely there's a lot going on for sure, but it's it's good on the eye, you know, so far.
Yeah.
It's not distracting. It's just, but it's a lot going on, but it's not distracting. It's just enough. Mm. So, yeah. Yeah. But, so if you're watching it, man, we might talk about it over these next couple of weeks. We might talk about it. What you laughing about?
You got up out of there. I thought you was going to talk about it.
Nah, because I don't want to spoil nothing. I don't want to really spoil nothing. So we get on the same page, and then we can kind of really discuss it.
Yeah, I'm almost finished with episode one. I guess Scott described it. And like I said, it ain't nothing you can just skip through. You got to really watch that shit minute for minute.
Right. All right. Well, let's see how far we get. We'll talk about this joint next week.
Word.
But anyway, got anything else you want to speak on?
Ah, that's it, man. I done talked out my little topics.
Right. There it is. Shit, you know, I done blew a gasket. I'm all right, man.
This nigga still like mad.
I'm chilling now.
Get you
I'm
some tea.
I'm about to go drink some water. Some tea. I'm about to go have a cold drink of water.
Fuck with your little, down. You know what I'm saying? What they call them shits? What is your, the little acoustic thing where you just rub the thing around to get the acoustic spot going?
Oh, the little sound bath?
Yeah, sound bath. You need a sound bath around that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Home.
I need some shit that's gonna act faster than the sound bath. You gotta be real. You know what I mean? That's why a cold drink. Give me where I need to be.
You need some refill.
Yeah,
no,
man, I'm chilling.
Back
I'm
over,
chilling
you know
right
saying,
now. Nah,
no,
I can dig it.
Spot, you know what I'm saying?
I like that.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I'm
my
chilling
bad.
On that. No, it's all good. It's all good. It ain't nothing.
What made you chill?
Huh?
What made you chill?
Man, I was over. I thought I talked about this, man. I was ODing, bro. I was doing too much, man. Oh, I wasn't even getting high no more. I was just level. It was just
right.
Numbing me out.
Right.
And it was the middle of the pandemic, and you know that was a respiratory ass illness. I was living dolo. I talked about it on the thing. I lost my sense of smell.
Right, all of that shit.
I got nervous. You know what I mean? Well, you know, we'll see. At this point,
I ain't trying
chilling.
To bring you back. You know?
No. The only person that could bring me back is me. You know? But right now, I'm kicking it. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, speaking of highs, I'll be in Grantville, Pennsylvania, on June 22nd. Out at Laughing Stock Comedy Club. Tickets are on sale now. You go to DamianLemon.com, get yourself some tickets there. June 22nd, Grantville, Pennsylvania, Laughing Stock Comedy Club. Come on out. June 29th, I'll be in Poughkeepsie, New York at, what's the name of that spot? Laugh It Up. Mm-hmm. Laugh It Up out there in Poughkeepsie. June 29th. Tickets, again, that's on sale, DamianLemon.com. And then I'll be in Seattle, you know, August 30th and 31st at Comedy / Bar in Seattle, Washington. Tickets are on sale right now, DamianLemon.com. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Be out.